And a warm-hearted good morning. Welcome to our Brandpunt Studios, where we look at relevant issues that affect our Christian world on a daily basis. The topic for discussion this morning, all about generational curses. That after a recent article in Joy Digital magazine written by Kurt Landry that states the following, and I'd like to quote him. He says, in over 25 years of pastoring, the most frequently observed issue plaguing believers to this very day is that of generational curses. Habitual sin and familiar spirits in family lines are the telltale signs. Then he says, Jesus came to reverse the curse. He came so that you and I can have life and life in abundance. Of course, talking about John 10:10. He then continues to identify 10 generational curses. I'd like to mention some of them. A lack of passion for spiritual things, battling excessive frustration, doubting God's goodness and faithfulness, battling torment and missing out on the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question your calling and your direction that was once discernible, to be lured into areas of previous bondage, to be tempted to quit a personal assignment, and so on and so forth. These are all telltale signs, he says, that generational curses are resting upon you. Breaking free and claiming the right to your freedom starts with understanding your identity. The generational curse is after your identity, he says. It wants you to doubt who you are in Yeshua. It wants to confuse your purpose and your calling, luring you back into the bondages of old habits and patterns. However, when you identify these curses, cancel and come out of agreement with it, proclaiming God's truth over your identity, he says, then you are positioned to walk in victory. Well, join us as we at Brandpunt investigates the notion of generational curses and how to make sense of our struggles and our daily brokenness. We'll be back with our respondents right after this. Well, all the way from Somerset West down in the beautiful Cape Town, got Pastor Bruce Jackman on line. Bruce, good day to you. Thank you for your willingness to chat to us. Just in a nutshell, your background and your involvement with the Body of Christ on Earth?
I've been involved with the Body of Christ since I was 33, which is over 30 years ago, and I have been very, very privileged to have been in business for many years, both locally and internationally. I felt the calling to serve God full-time in the pulpit ministry, and in that time visited the United States, and then came back to Somerset West to found the church and to grow it, handed over to the next generation, and currently I'm the CEO of Eagles Rising Leadership Academy, which is an academy to try and help disadvantaged students cross the bridge between their schooling and university.
Bruce, in a nutshell, in your understanding and according to the scriptures, generational curses, do you believe it's scriptural, Old Testament, New Testament?
I think the starting point is there's an experience that people have that caused them to not have full answers. And so because of that, I've had to examine the scriptures, and I've had to say there is definitely something of a generational curse dream that some people experience, yes.
A recent article by Kurt Landry on Joy Digital magazine, where he states that in the 25 years of pastoring, the most frequent observed issues plaguing believers to this day is that of generational curses. He called it habitual sin and familiar spirits in family lines that are the telltale signs. Do you agree with that statement or not?
I think, again, it's one of those things that we see and we have to deal with. Can I give you a personal example? That I have a sister who was born out of wedlock. She gave birth to a child who was born out of wedlock. I have a daughter who gave birth to a child out of wedlock, and I'm a pastor. They were all saved. They were all fully engaged with God, and so there was something that was going on which had not yet been covered fully by everything that we believe about the cross. I believe that Jesus did everything that was required on the cross for the fullness of salvation and to break into the liberty and the fullness of liberty of life that he gives us. Yet there seems to be this strain that unless it's dealt with from a generational point of view, recognizing something is influencing, which should not be influencing, and dealing with that, that we do experience what your writer has explained.
He says if these generational curses are not cancelled, there's unnecessary spiritual warfare, such as financial attacks, physical attacks, relationship issues, abuse, divorce, business breakups, church splits, and many others. That's what he ascribes it to. What is your understanding? Do you agree with him? Because these things that he's mentioning are real. It's happening to people. We see it on a daily basis. Can we ascribe this to generational curses or not?
I understand that this is a deep theological question that has been bantered about for ages and studied, and I understand that it can also be divisive, so I'm not intending to be divisive at all, but there's a reality that we are seeing which is showing these things continue despite a person's genuine salvation. So there definitely seems to me to be something that comes down and continues to influence. I have had personal contact with many different people, many of whom were set free. One of the things is pornography seems to come down generationally because a young girl would say to me, I need help, and then I'll try and trace what is going on, and it can see there was something in her past and in the family's past and in other pasts. So the experience is that there definitely is something that is going on.
Talking about the reality of these issues, you've mentioned pornography as an example of one. What do we say to people, generational curses or not? How can one be set free from these things if the Bible says in Christ we are a new creation? What would your advice be to people who struggle with these real life issues in closing?
One of the things that we understand is that there are a few challenges. One is people can resort to a question such as, the person wasn't genuinely saved. We don't know whether they were or not. The fact is that there's an issue that seems to plague a person. And so firstly, I ensure that they are fully saved, that they understand what happened. It wasn't an emotional decision to put up a hand when they were feeling bad about themselves. Then helping them understand that they have a thought pattern that continues to reflect on these other ways of thinking, and help them be transformed by the renewing of your mind, getting God's word into them so that they're able to make choices that break free.
Pastor Bruce Jackman, all the way from Somerset West, we apologize for the quality of the line. He's in a spot that is not particularly well known for the cell phone quality. Bruce, nevertheless, bless your heart and thank you so much for chatting to us here at Brampton. Bekende Heinz Winkler, a gospel artist here in South Africa, te nooi om sy hart met ons te deel. Heinz, goeiedag, baie welkom by Brampton. So in 'n netedop, ek verstaan, die Here het jou ook gelei om 'n kerk onlangs te begin, maar ek wil by jou weet, wat is jou ervaring oor generasievloeke? Stem jy saam daarmee? Is dit Bybels, is dit onbybels? Of is dit net iets wat gelowiges nie mooi verstaan nie? Wat is jou belewenis?
Hallo, baie dankie vir die geleentheid. Ons het einde laas jaar ons Love Key Church geplant en het gaan goed en sterk en ons geniet het vreeslik om in die bediening te staan. En ja, dit is 'n kwessie wat opkom en mense praat oor. Ek het al verskillende opinies gehoor. My ervaring, as ek dit kombineer met wat ek in die woord lees en my eie reis van genesing van my verlede en my die proses van nuutwording in Christus, sal ek sê dat die eerste belangrike punt wat ons moet altyd voor oë hou is die werk wat Jesus aan die kruis gedoen het en wat klaar gemaak is, dat ons kan weet toe hy gesê het dit is volbring, toe kan ons weet dit is volbring in hom. Maar wat ons ook moet besef is dat alhoewel hy die kurs kom wees het vir ons, kan ons net toegang kry tot die vryheid in hom as ons in 'n verhouding met hom tree. En dit is nie iets wat gebeur net omdat ons groot word in 'n Christen kultuur of het Christen ouers nie. Elkeen van ons moet op die ouderdom wat ons begin besef hoe die goeders werk, moet ons 'n besluit neem vir of teen Jesus. En dan, as ons regtig hom kies, dan kan ons toegang kry tot die vrymaking. En vir my was dit toe ek 16 was, het ek my hart vir die Here gegee toe ek 'n daadwerklike ontmoeting gehad het met die Vader en gevoel het hoe die Vader my omhels en sê ek is lief vir jou my seun en daar het my lewe handomkeer begin verander. Maar ek het besef dat hier's goed in my lewe, hier's gewoonte sondes, daar's dinge wat ek nie lekker verstaan nie, wat oor en oor en oor wat ek terugval in sonde en, yeah. En dit was vir my baie frustrerend. En ek het eers later in my lewe het ek in 'n disipelskap verhouding met 'n pastoor ingetree wat die Here op my pad gebring het en hy het vir my begin dit vertel wys uit die woord van God, wat is die waarheid oor my identiteit in Christus? En my ervaring was dat alhoewel daar sekere goed kan wees wat van ons voorouers af oorgedra word aan ons, is die gesonde posisie is om uit die posisie van die autoriteit wat ek het in Christus die ding te benader, eerder as die amper ek het reeds verloor en ek sit met 'n agterstand om dan na hierdie goeders te kyk en te sê okay, my ouers het dalk sekere goed gedoen en my voorouers het dalk sekere goeders gedoen wat 'n impak op my het en wat ek gesien het gebeur het is dat ek moet uit die waarheid van wie ek is in Christus en die identiteit wat Jesus oor my spreek met Efesiërs 1, 1 Petrus 2, hierdie kragtige skrifte wat vir ons sê wie ons is in Christus, moet ek begin, dit is die waarheid van wie ek nou is. Ek is 'n burger van die hemel. Ek is meer as 'n oorwinnaar in Christus. Ek is 'n seun van God, 'n vriend van God. Hierdie goeders is wat waar is. Die ander goeders wat in my verlede gebeur het, is oorkombaar in Christus. En wat ons begin doen het, is ons het begin sê, okay, daar's sekere patrone in my lewe, dit kan kom van dit af. Kom ons sê dit is dalk so, maar ek was dalk in ooreenkoms met dit, maar nou sê ek in die naam van Jesus val ek uit ooreenkoms uit met daai goeders.
Ja.
En dit is waar die deurbrake vir my begin kom het. En ek het ook gesien in mense se lewens die krag van ek weet nie presies waar die of die term generational curse in die Bybel voorkom nie. Ek weet nie daarvan nie. Ek weet wel God het gesê vir sy volk, die wat my haat, sal ek straf tot in die derde geslag en die wat my liefhet, sal ek seën tot in die duisendste geslag. En ek dink daai is die sleutel. Is ons werklik lief vir God? En as ons lief is vir hom, dan sê hy, as jy lief is vir my, sal jy doen wat ek sê.
Ja.
Johannes 14 vers 15. So as ons doen wat hy sê, dan sal ons sy gebooie nakom en dan sal ons in die krag lewe van wat hy vir ons tot beskikking stel. En my vrymakings journey het begin meer in die weet wie ek is in Christus, en uit daai plek van autoriteit dan sê okay, ek daar's sekere goed wat dalk saam in die bloedlyn gekom het, maar ek val uit ooreenkomste uit met daai goeders en daarom kan ek in die waarheid leef van wie ek regtig is.
Hierdie man wat die artikel geskryf het in Joy Digital met die naam van Kurt Landry sê die finansiële chaos wat in mense se lewens heers, die aanvalle, die verhoudings probleme wat hulle het, egskeidings, besighede wat ondergaan, kerke wat opbreek, het alles te doen met generasie vloeke. Nou hierdie goed is 'n realiteit, ons kan dit nie ontken nie, dit gebeur elke dag. Wat sê ons dan vir mense wat luister, is dit bloot net aanvalle bose magte, Efesiërs 6, of is dit wel dan generasie vloeke, goed wat deur die generasies kom, of hoe help ons medegelowiges om hierdie ding te verstaan? Ek hoor wat jy sê, jy het nie gefokus op generasie vloeke nie, jy het gefokus op jou identiteit in Christus en van daar af het jy gebou. Maar wat sê ons vir gelowiges wat hierdie goed ervaar, hoe moet hulle dit verstaan? So ter afsluiting, wat sê jou laaste woorde wees dan?
Ek sê nie die goed bestaan nie. Ek sê net ons moet weet dat mens kan na ekstreem toe gaan op enige van hierdie onderwerpe en enige vorm van ekstreem het die gevaar dat dit raak 'n afgod of dit raak 'n ding wat vir ons belangriker is as die waarheid. Ek dink mens moet na die Heilige Gees toe gaan en van vra, okay, wat is die goed uit my verlede wat belangrik is vir my om van te weet sodat ek dit kan identifiseer en sodat ek uit ooreenkomste kan uitval daarmee en in die autoriteit van Jesus kan staan. Die eerste punt weer eens is ek 'n wedergebore Christen. So as mense sien daar's patrone in hulle lewe wat nie gebreek word nie, dan is dit stap 1. Wees baie eerlik en reguit, is ek 'n wedergebore Christen van God volgens die woord van God? Ek glo dat een van die goed wat vas wat 'n mens daar kan sit onder die kategorie van 'n generasie vloek is die konsep van kulturele Christendom. Mense wat glo hulle is Christene want hulle het in 'n Christenhuis of 'n Christen tipe kultuur groot geword, maar dit is nie gepaardgaande met die krag van die Heilige Gees en oorwinning van Jesus Christus nie. En ek dink baie tradisionele kerkomgewings is dit. Ek het in dit groot geword, ek het dit in my eie oë beleef en gesien. En ek het besef op 16 dat net om met 'n kerk toe gaan en my ouers was Christene, beteken nie ek is 'n Christen nie, beteken nie ek kan in die vryheid stap van wat hy aan die kruis gedoen het nie. Ja. So dis stap 1, is ek regtig wedergebore? Dan is ek gedoop met water, is ek gedoop met die Heilige Gees? Baie van die goed wat ek glo ons terughou is omdat ons nie gehoorsaam is aan die basiese goed van wat die woord vir ons sê om te doen na ons bekering gekom het nie. En een van hulle is dooping met water. En as ons dit gedoen het en ons ontvang die krag van die Heilige Gees, dan kan ek jou beloof 'n klomp van hierdie nonsens gaan klaar ophou.
Ja.
En dan is die volgende stap is om deel te wees van 'n plaaslike kerk. En die plaaslike kerk is die plek vir ons die hulp kry, die leiding kry, die en ons 'n geestelike covering wat kom saam met 'n plaaslike kerk wat ook 'n klomp van hierdie goeders uitsorteer. Die derde ding is as jy in die huwelik intree op God se manier. As jy dinge doen volgens God se wil, dan beloof ek jou, jy gaan 'n klomp van hierdie goed sien wegval. Die tipe geestelike beskerming wat ek beleef het deel te wees van 'n plaaslike kerk wat 'n lewegewende kerk is en in die huwelik in te tree op God se manier is huge. Daar soveel beskerming en vryheid gekom saam met net deur goed God se manier te doen. So ek beloof die meeste mense gaan meeste van hulle nonsens uitsorteer as hulle net gehoorsaam is aan God se woord. En dan is daar bykomend die hele proses van heiligmaking. Weet Romeine 12 sê vir ons, Paulus sê vir ons vir die gelowiges, maak jouself 'n lewende offer vir God en dan moenie soos die wêreld wees nie. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So ons moet ons die manier wat ons dink moet ons verander van hoe dit is na wat God wil hê dit moet wees. En ons kan dit net doen as ons in die woord van God tyd spandeer. Die ander probleem wat hierdie goeters baie teweeg bring is 'n kombinasie van ja, die Bybel is die woord van God, maar mense se opinies is net so belangrik soos die woord van God. Baie tradisionele kerke het die benadering dat die geestelike leiers van die kerk se opinie is net so belangrik of belangriker as die woord van God en ek dink baie probleme kom daarin. Ons moet die woord van God die hoof belangrike ding in ons lewe maak onder leiding van die Heilige Gees. Dan gaan ons begin sien wat die goed regtig behoort te wees. En as ons in hierdie proses begin met heiligmaking en met Christelike counsel stap waar mense vir ons begin wys wat is die leuns wat ons glo en wat is die waarheid waarmee dit kan vervang word, dan begin ons hierdie goeters regtig aanspreek. Ons moet pasop om te dink dat iets soos 'n fokus op generational curse gaan al probleme oplos. Dit is 'n tool wat ons van bewus kan wees in ons toolkit wat Jesus vir ons gee.
Yeah.
Maar dit is nie die myn ding nie. Ek kan nie dink dat mens een ding soos daai al die skuld wil gee of al die oorsake daarop plaas nie. Ek dink dit begin by die goed wat ek nou genoem het en daai is een van die goed wat ons moet aanspreek. Ja, dis hoe ek dit ervaar. Ja.
So sê Heinz Winkler, ook aan die hoof dan van 'n gemeente in Somerset Wes. Heinz, baie dankie dat jy jou hart ook met ons gedeel het.
Groot plesier, dankie vir julle. Baie seën.
Pastor Matt Fulhune certainly needs no introduction on this radio station. Matt, thank you so much for your time. On the topic of generational curses, let's start in the beginning. In your understanding, is generational curses scriptural in the Old or the New Testament? What is your understanding of it?
Renan, the phrase itself you will not find either in Old or New Testament, but it is understandable where the phrase comes from. It is deducted from scriptures like Exodus 20 verse 5, also Numbers 14 verse 18, Deuteronomy 9 verse 5, Exodus 34 verse 6, all those references before that I mentioned, all of them give you an indication of some or other curse that you will find based on sin.
Right. Now, talking about generational curses, I'm making reference to an article written by Kurt Landry, Joy Digital Magazine. And he says their habitual sin and familiar spirits in family lines are telltale signs that there is generational curses. But what are we to say to this statement of Kurt Landry?
Well, Wynand, the mention he makes of the generational curses, again, is not based on particular scripture that is properly interpreted. And that is the challenge. If you don't take particular scripture that deals with a particular phrase and you interpret it in a proper way, then you make this kind of deduction, but you cannot defend your proclamation or your statement. You cannot defend it from scripture because you are not dealing with particular scripture regarding this.
Now, Matt, when it comes to generational curses, you're talking about passing it down from parents to children, resulting in many to operate in a lack, a financial lack, bondage, doubt, confusion, temptation. Now, these things are real. We see people with financial lack. We see people in bondage, doubt, confusion, and temptation. To what do we ascribe that then? If it's not generational curses, is it just simple sin? Is it, what would we ascribe it to if we look at God's word?
The phrase generational curse indicates that something is passed from father to child. What it is passed on is the example and the results of sin. That is what is passed on. But again, let's go back to scripture. Ezekiel takes it and explains it in a whole chapter in Ezekiel 18. The whole chapter, he explains this whole principle that the child will never pay for the sins of the father, and the child is not in bondage because of the sins of the father. For instance, Ezekiel 18 verse 4, he says, "All souls are mine," the souls, that is the Lord now speaking through Ezekiel, "the souls of the father as well as the souls of the son is mine. The soul who sins will die." And then in verse 20 of Ezekiel 18, he says, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself." So that's very, very clear. And just to even state it further, the next two verses, Ezekiel 18, 21 and 22 says, "If the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and observe all my statutes and practices, then he shall not die." So we see here that all the Lord expects of someone is to get rid of his iniquity and his sin, and then there is no such thing as a curse that will come down through generation to generation. So the clear answer to your question then is, a child sees the example, he hears the example of the parent, he follows it because it is easy to follow sin. And the converse of that, the other side, it is difficult to live a righteous life.
Yeah.
So that is why you see it from generation to generation. You can take simple examples, like, for instance, the misuse of alcohol. It is easily passed over through example and circumstance from a parent to a child.
Now, the word out in the marketplace is, unless these generational curses aren't cancelled, then there's unnecessary spiritual warfare. And I want to take you to Ephesians 6 that talks about spiritual warfare. It says it's not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. And he ascribes this spiritual warfare, financial attacks, physical attacks, relationship issues, abuse, divorce, business. Is it because of the spiritual attacks that Ephesians refer to? Or how can we walk away from these real life issues in our lives? How do we get rid of it then? You say it's not generational curses. Is it then the attack of the spiritual world?
Why not? We have to start at the beginning of the reference you made to what was written down, where you said the generational curses aren't cancelled. If they are not cancelled, there is unnecessary spiritual warfare. Well, they have been cancelled through the work of Christ only for those that are in Christ. And there is the answer. This whole issue takes you back to the gospel. So they have been cancelled. It has been dealt with. What a person has to do now is identify his sin, such as financial, the love for finances, or bad relationships, or divorce, which is sin, or business breakups, which is based on sin, or church splits, which is based on sin. So the common word here with all these issues is sin. The Bible tells us what sin is and what is not sin, and it tells us how to deal with it. You identify it, you repent of it, you repair those relationships, And the spiritual warfare that you reference in Ephesians 6, that is Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 18, and you'll see in verse 18 it includes prayer. What the Lord there tells us to do is to stand, not to fight. So once you do what the Bible says you need to do, then this fight is a Christian fight. And we know, based on what Ephesians teaches us from chapter 1, you cannot jump to Ephesians 6 without going back to chapter 1 to 5, is exactly how we deal with this. And we deal with it in Christ, in obedience. And it is definitely not a bondage or a curse that rests on us.
All right. If I may say it, according to what you're saying, quoting scripture, you against generational curses. You don't agree with it. However, Kurt Landry, and I state him once again, says that generational curses wants to confuse your purpose and your calling, luring you back into bondage of old habits. If you are a new creature in Christ, then is it possible to fall back into old habits and old patterns? What is your comments?
It's definitely possible to fall back into old habits and patterns, but you have to again go back to Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 tells us that the old has gone, the new has come. That refers to regeneration. And then we also understand, based on Romans 8 verse 1, that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And we also understand, according to Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14, that a reborn person has the Holy Spirit that has sealed him for the day of promise. And we also understand, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that what we need to do is understand that in this life our purpose is to bring honor to God. That is the whole purpose. So we do have a life purpose. It is very clear to us what the life purpose is, and that is to honor God. And he says it in this way in the book of Ecclesiastes. The conclusion of all is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. So it is definitely not rocket science. It's not difficult in any degree what our purpose in life is. Our purpose is to fear God and keep his commandments. And we find all that information in the Bible. And it is easy to know where to find. Just again, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. If you go and read Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, you will know exactly what your purpose in life is and what you need to do. This is not something that needs to be confused or that we have to search for.
Matt, in closing, Kurt Landry ends his article by saying, proclaim God's truth over your own identity. You are positioned to walk in victory. And if you don't, well, these curses will follow you. You have to cancel them. Your final thoughts on this and this final statement that is made, surely that brings a lot of confusion to Christians all over the world, doesn't it?
Let's go back to the word proclaim that you've used. We only proclaim one thing, and that's the gospel. And Christ has proclaimed victory. We don't have to. And you know what? The other thing, Vaynant, it's not about our identity in the world. It is about God's identity. This is the kingdom that he is building through obedient people, through the born-again people. So we go about positioning not our walk in victory, but positioning our relationship in Christ, because he already has the victory. He has already proclaimed it. Consider John chapter 19, I think it is verse 20, around about there, where Christ on the cross said, it is finished. It's verse 30, John 19, verse 30. It is finished. What is finished? The whole power play by Satan is finished for those that are in Christ, because in Christ we can stand against this. So the focus is never us. The focus is Christ. The focus is God's kingdom. It's not about our identity individually. It's about our identity in Christ, and we walk in him in victory. And again, I can refer you back to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 that uses the word walk in him and how we should walk.
So in your understanding, should the topic generational curses crop up in any conversation, your answer immediately would be, in a nutshell?
Yes, it must crop up, because the Bible teaches that kind of principle. But the Bible, most of all, it teaches us the gospel. It proclaims the gospel. And in the gospel, we are not bound in anything or by anything. So the 10 points there on how to identify the generational curses, they're all defunct. Not one of them stands the test of Scripture, not a single one of those 10 points.
With that, sincere thanks to our respondent, Pastor Matt Fuljoen, also co-presenter on a Tuesday morning with the program called Scriptural. Matt, bless your heart. Thank you so much for taking part in Brandpunt this morning.
It was an honor, Reinhard. Thank you.
Well, with that, we have come to the end of yet another edition of Brandpunt. Please take note that the topic for discussion and the comments made by our respondents are not necessarily that of a radio pulpit or the announcer on duty, but put there for you, our listener, to make an informed decision. Till next time, keep well, God bless you, and shalom.